Did you know that there's a ballpark in America with a life-size bobblehead museum? We hit the road and ended up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, home of the Senators, to see it. Stick around. This is Let's Get To.
Welcome to Let's Get To, the baseball show from the fans' perspective. Now here's your host, James Christopher. Let's Get To presents the first pitch. Opening thoughts from James Christopher.
And welcome to Let's Get To. I'm your host, James Christopher, and we have a packed episode for you today. The Florence Flamingos are here, the Greenville Flyboys are here, and then we're going to head back to Harrisburg to show you that amazing ballpark and experience. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about what this season has in store, because yes, it is the beginning of September, and it looks like baseball is winding down, but we are not done traveling. We are not done showing you some of the best of what the minor leagues have to offer in this baseball in this country. So first of all, we're going to be out to Wichita to see the Wind Surge. We're going to be into Bowling Green to see the Hot Rods after that. Then we're going to head to Southern Maryland to see the Blue Crabs. And then we're going to finally get a trip out to the Arizona Fall League. We have so much baseball coming that you have no choice if you love this game but to stick around. But before we do that, you know, we're going to do this over and over again as the season wraps up. Just a thank you. So many teams, whether we could make it out in person or not, or just having them on the show, opened up their time to show off what's special about their baseball, their brand. And it's been honestly a perfect way to rebound from 2020. We have had a blast. We have met so many great GMs, so many great people who work at the ballpark, so many great voices, so many great mascots, ate so much great food, so many good beers. And again, as the season really winds down for us, we will wrap all that up. But I was just sitting here thinking, with four big trips to go, what an amazing summer it's been. And I have all the people who keep watching and all the people who welcome us out to thank you. So again, we had another great trip. So let's go back out to me in Harrisburg.
From the bleachers, the Let's Get To Game of the Week.
I'm a big movie guy, so anytime I get to experience something even remotely cinematic, I'm here for it. And it doesn't get much more cinematic or dramatic than walking from downtown Harrisburg across a bridge and letting FNB Field, home of the Senators, reveal itself to you. All I needed at that moment was a John Williams score, and it would have been perfect. The ballpark is situated on City Island on the Susquehanna River, making it one of the most unique fields we've ever visited. Now before we get into the playing facility, I just have to say one thing. It was Christmas in August. I'm a huge Christmas guy, I just love it, and the ballpark was a winter wonderland for sure, outside of the temperature. They had wreaths, stockings, a tree, Christmas music in the ballpark, employees were dressed up, even Rascal was in the Yuletide spirit. Yes, I'm smiling, because smiling is my favorite. What also had me smiling is the ballpark. It had a great mix of feeling like a big setting while remaining intimate. The center concourse gives you great views of the action on the field, while in the outfield and down the lines, you have a variety of ways to watch the game, enjoy a dog and a beer, and then really just bask in the environment. I love that the Senators hold the ties to their past close. They've got banners everywhere, and banners are one thing, but life-size bobbleheads are a whole other ball of leather, cork, and seams. You see this in a few ballparks and it just hits me. The POW-MIA chair. We can enjoy these games, this life, this country, because those better than us paid the ultimate price, and some of those, we won't really know what happened to them. And it was a good time had by all. You had fun inflatables for the kids, and I was honored to throw out a first pitch. And they maybe do it from the base of the mound, not on the mound itself. And let me be honest, that was a lot easier. All in all, when you go to a Senators game, you find an oasis in the middle of a river. A port in the storm, offering a respite from work, from stress, from a day driven by 24-hour news and everyone going crazy. And there are a few places that do it better. And if you need a peaceful break from the game, just look at these views.
Holler and a Swaller, a chug of Ballpark Brew, presented by The Hitter Sports.
And we're back here on Let's Get To's Holler and a Swaller, presented by The Hitter Sports. Make sure you're following The Hitter Sports on Twitter. You might hear some Christmas music. Let's see if we can get it. We got Christmas music going on at the ballpark. We're out here at FMB Field, home of the Harrisburg Senators. It's holly jolly Christmas time in August. Having a great time at the ballpark already. Can't wait for the game to kick off. One of the cool things about the ballpark is the people here get it. One of the things you want to have at a ballpark, local beer. Minor League Baseball is about community. It's about reflections of that community, and so is the alcohol you provide. So we love the fact that there is a wide selection of microbrews and stuff. And we picked up what looks delicious. Desperate times call for desperate measures, as they say. This is the Desperate Times Pineapple Kolsch. I love a good pineapple beer, light, refreshing. It's 90 degrees, so it's going to go down just easy. Again, microbrews at a ballpark. Really get to these ballparks, particularly if you're a traveler. If you're like Baseball Escape or the guys at Baseball Mapper who are out there all over the country, getting to taste local beer is something that is part of that experience. Also, shout out to Beers and Ballparks, our good friends out there who are doing both those things at the same time. So again, the Desperate Times Pineapple Kolsch. Holler and a Swaller, baby. Hey, hello to friends you know and people you meet. I definitely waited for the end of the song. That's why you notice a continuity error in the beer amount.
Who's on first? The Let's Get To Local 9, brought to you by Zoomer Sport.
So we are super... Cameron, how do I pronounce your last name?
Kovac.
Kovac. Okay, cool. I almost said Kovac. See, I would have been wrong. So we're excited to welcome Cameron Kovac to the show today. He is of the Florence Flamingos, formerly known as the Florence Red Wolves. First of all, Cameron, how's it going? We've just wrapped up the season. How'd everything go this year?
Went really well. Thanks for having me. We did really well this year. We actually are a part of a new ownership group that took over October of 2020. Took over the team and put in some new thoughts and ways of doing things, and led to 6 sellouts this year, which is great. And then, of course, the big rebrand, which we played as the Flamingos the last game of the year, which was just awesome. Such an awesome experience.
So, first of all, let's talk the rebrand. I love it. It's right. It definitely hits me where I live. I love it's one of my favorite things. And so we're going to try to be out there next year. We already have a mini South Carolina trip that we're going to take, so we're going to fold you guys into it. But what I thought was cool about the rebrand and daring about the rebrand is Florence Red Wolves wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't, there are teams that you see out there that look like, oh, they could use a refresh or whatever. So you guys really just took the bull by the horns, I guess, and really went for it. Talk to me a little bit about just how it came about.
Sure. You know, it's all about, since we are moving into a new stadium, new identity, trying to get some new life injected. And back in early May, we actually ran a help us rename the team promotion, looking for suggestions, and actually Red Wolves was not up there. So we came up with the 5 finalists, or had the 5 finalists, and in June released those. It was Flamingos, Flapjacks, Fighting Palmettos, Magicians, and A-Bombs. So we went out with those, the top 5, and people got to select, hey, what's your most favorite? What's your least favorite? And Flamingos was overwhelmingly the favorite and just ran away with it, which is awesome. But it's all about, you know, doing something new, unique, fun. I mean, Coastal Plain League is all about family fun and fun entertainment. And this is going to be something that will help put Florence, South Carolina on the map, which the former team name just wasn't doing.
Let's talk about the brand, because it's almost like when you hear the name, you imagine what it should look like. And then it does look that way, and it's executed perfectly. I love the uniform set. You know, was there anyone who was like, oh, we still need to remember it's baseball, it should be sort of conservative? Or was it really, let's go for broke and let's really adopt what this team name looks like?
You know, our ownership and myself and our VP of marketing, we're all about, hey, let's make this fun. Let's make this difference, make it unique. That's, you know, the bold pink, the logo. The full pink uniforms, like it's about fun. So let's make it fun. Let's just go all out. But it was a quick turnaround, you know, cause we didn't know the final winner until probably the middle of June, late June. So, that's when the logo logo stuff started picking up, and we started going through different iterations and colors. And we're like, hey, let's just, we got to be bold. And what's more bold than the pink that we have?
Yeah. And then the trimmed out with the black, it's so sharp. How has the fan reaction been? Has it been pretty strong?
It's been great. It's been super strong. We've had a lot of people talking about us, a lot of engagement, a lot of excitement. Merchandise has been going crazy. We recently sold merchandise in all 50 states and 6 countries. We've had merchandise sales every single day since we announced the change. So that was July 31st. So, which was something that, you know, previously the team wasn't doing, at all. So this is just, excitement local, but it's also excitement all over the place.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be buying a jersey today. I'm pretty fired up about that. I'm a big jersey guy. Talk to me about the new ballpark then. What can we expect for that? I mean, that's, you're right. That how more teams don't realize, or more communities don't realize, that investing in a ballpark will lead to so much more economic growth. And it's like, it's not even a question, it's demonstrable. So how, what can we expect out of the new ballpark?
Yeah, the city of Florence has been great. This is a city facility. They're actually building a bigger sports complex. So it's actually going to feature 3 to 5 little league fields, a regulation size track and field, which I know they're excited about, a high school size field, and then the stadium. So it's a part of their bigger, like, sports tourism and bringing people in. And our stadium itself, it's going to have about 1,500, 1,600 seats. It'll have a VIP open air club behind home plate, which is really cool, which is something nice. That's new here. It's going to have, you know, a party deck down the right field line, a beer garden down the left field line, kid zone. I mean, everything that we do, it's about the fan. It's about the fan experience. It's about making sure that the moment that they come out, they're entertained, to the moment that they leave. And it's all about the engagement. It's going to have 2 concession stands, which is awesome, because currently we played at Francis Marion University and it was 1 concession stand. So our capabilities are just going to be a lot more stronger. We're going to be able to serve our fans a lot better. And it's just going to be great. So in addition to, you know, our games, we're going to help the city and bring other outside events in, whether it's like college baseball tournaments or concerts or comedy shows, which is just something that is different to this area and something that's just going to help bring more people into Florence.
Yeah, you're right. Again, it's all about that big baseball community. Speaking of baseball community, I mean, you guys, the league you're in, it's now you guys, and it's the Chili Peppers and the Bananas and the Making Bacon. Are y'all having the most fun of any baseball league going? I mean, that has to be it, right?
Yeah, no, I would say so. You know, our owners actually own the Making Bacon as well. So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. Their games are a lot of fun. The Bananas do a really good job. The Chili Peppers are doing a good job. The Blowfish are doing a good job. You know, everyone in our league that comes in, it's about fun and it's all about fan engagement. And when you go to these other stadiums, because I went to a couple other stadiums this year, you're like, wow, this is fun too. So everything's great. And it's just, but in addition to that, we have high quality baseball too, because the Coastal Plain League has a tradition of putting a really good quality product on the field, which is definitely visible.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And it's being talked about, and I got to think ESPN kind of covering the Bananas the way they did is going to be something that's good for the entire league.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime that a team in our league gets coverage like that, when the Bacon announced their name, they got ESPN coverage too. So like anything that gets that national eye just helps the league and helps all the other teams.
Have you guys started rolling out what 2022 is going to look like? I mean, when did you start that process of saying, here's how we want to usher in the new ballpark. Here's how we really want to really start revealing. I know you guys played one game, but really revealing what the brand and what Flamingos baseball means to the community.
Yeah. You know, it's constantly evolving. You know, we're doing a lot of business planning now. We did a lot of business planning, you know, during the season as well. But it's definitely going to be something bigger, bolder, better. We just want to get as unique as we can, as creative as we can. Cause like with the Flamingo itself is like very versatile and like very, you can do a lot of things with it. You see it everywhere. I mean, I'm wearing a Flamingo shirt. That's not Florence Flamingos, but it's Flamingo polo.
Right.
So there's just so much that we can do. And I know our marketing team is chomping the bit. I am too. And it's just going to be great.
May I suggest a dizzy bat stand on one leg competition?
I like that. That's a great idea. That's awesome.
You know what? When I come down, I'll even compete in it. We'll see if these old army knees can hold up.
There we go.
Yeah. we'll rock and roll on that. What about players? You know, the new look, I think a lot of young ball players are going to want to wear that. I know in collegiate summer league, you guys are in the recruiting business. Mm-hmm. How about that? When will that process start as far as getting new players for next year?
You know, it's funny, as an aside too, people are wondering, do baseball players want to wear pink? You know, you're going to wear an all pink uniform. Is that going to affect your recruiting? Is that going to affect your players? And every single player, because we had our black uniforms and our pink uniforms this year, we rolled them out the last game. We said, what's your favorite and what do you want to wear? They're like, ooh, I want to wear the pink. And like, I really want to wear the pink. So it's definitely something that the players themselves have grasped onto. We are going to make an announcement soon about new coach hiring that we did. And he is already working behind the scenes and recruiting players. You know, he's already gotten a couple guys. But it started, I guess, right when the season ended. And, you know, it's our head coach reaching out to his contacts and coaching contacts all over the country and trying to get, you know, the best roster possible in here. The Coastal Plain League holds a lot of weight. Having a rebrand holds a lot of weight. That's a good mm-hmm. recruiting tool. Having a new stadium is another yeah. recruiting tool, because these guys, they want to come, they want to play in, you know, nice facilities. They want to play in front of crowds. So the fact that, you know, we have an active ticket sales, staff, and they're working hard to fill the stands for them. It's just, you know, I was talking to our new coach the other day. It's a perfect storm of, you know, this, because that's what the guys are looking for. They're not looking for a place where, you know, maybe an old stadium or like only 20 people come out. That they want packed stands, they want new stuff. And the fact that the Flamingo brand and the Flamingo logo and the merchandise is everywhere, I feel like it's gonna add to the appeal of this team.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I can't compliment you guys enough on just executing the look perfectly, even down to the word mark and that sort of Florida-ish 1950s mm-hmm. kind of thing. Really, really tied it all together.
Thank you.
So we are going to be out there again. We'll be out there next season. I'll let you know when we'll be there. You got to promise to come on right before the season starts to kind of introduce, tell us about some of the players and talk about the new coach.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely look forward to welcoming you here in Florence, and yeah, happy to come on whenever.
All right, Cameron, thanks so much for jumping on. Let's Get To. Good luck on the Flamingos and your first Flamingo-esque offseason.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Who's on first? The Let's Get To Local 9, brought to you by Zoomer Sport.
All right, so we are jumping on with Cat Foster of your Greenville Flyboys. But before we jump on, Cat, before we get talking about this season, I have a dedication, like Casey Kasem.
Okay.
Congratulations. First of all, you know, it's been fun to follow the journey. I mean, really, could there be a more Cinderella way to end this than a walk-off win to win the championship? Talk to me about just that game and that run-up.
It just actually, flashbacks gave me chills. So it was the perfect game, to be honest. It was nervous because, you know, you're sitting here and Pulaski scores two runs, no pun intended, right off the bat. Two-run home run, you're like, okay, it's early, we're fine. And then we pull ahead, and then they pull ahead, and then we tie. And then it's just the back and forth. And to be honest, as nerve-wracking as it is and as it was one of those games that it was so great to be a part of, because I like championship games where there's actually a game, not uh-huh. one where it's, you know, 5-0. It's, you know, everyone's on the edge of their seats, and Pulaski, they were so awesome. They busted, you know, 60-70 of their fans. So there was really a good back and forth between the two teams. It wasn't just Greenville cheers. It was Pulaski would pull ahead cheers and all this stuff. And I remember at the very end of the game, one of my coworkers, who's also one of my closest friends, he was here. And I remember at one point, I just had to go sit down. And so I went to the far end of the stadium, hopefully to kind of be like out of sight of everybody. And I'm sitting there and I'm shaking my leg. And his AGM, Maya, goes, y'all are going to win. It's fine. And it was very calming. And I was like, okay, there's still a chance. And then, you know, the two runners get on base and, you know, Chris gets up and you're like, it's like designated hitter. And you're like, there's one person you want in this situation. It's literally the guy that is his title. And that ball dropped. And Allen, who generally in my experience, it's obviously nothing against him. He sometimes tends to err on the side of caution with base running. And I saw him just waving him home. And I was like, he's sending him for the first. Oh, my God. And like, I jumped up. And when he scored that run, I just took off running on the concourse, and my AGM and I saw each other. And, you know, he was with me in 2019 when I was over with the Cardinals. He was the ticket manager. So he and I have been together with our back-to-backs. So he and I just jumped on each other. And then it was, you know, getting down to the field, but it was such a good game, such a good game. And like I said, Pulaski, they were playing so well and incredibly well, and their fans were awesome. So all around, it was the best atmosphere for a championship game you could hope for.
And, you know, it's been fascinating to watch it too, because obviously we feel pretty close to you guys. We've followed you the whole season. How cool was it? Because this was a risk. The whole Appy League rebrand was a risk. And I feel like the risk has paid off. Does a championship help kind of cement the Flyboys in the Greenville community, as opposed to, you know, being the Reds before that and then the Astros before that?
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, there's no harm in people, you know, holding on to the great memories that they had with the Reds and with the Astros. And to be honest, like, it's something that I would hope they would hold on to. At this point, it's one of those that we didn't know what to expect either. And we were open and honest with the communities. They're like, well, we're nervous. Well, we're nervous too. Like, these are our careers. These are our livelihoods on the line here. And we risked a lot to, you know, and people might not think so, but we really did. We risked our careers putting our names on the Appy League and, you know, Boyd Sports, the company, they banked on that and risked a lot as well. So I think how the players really handled themselves in the community, they wanted to go out. They wanted to, you know, like one day after a game, I look out and we're closing up and it's 10:30. One of the players is in the outfield playing with a little league that came out. He's sitting them fly balls. And, you know, and that was something that I think the way that they really wanted to be a part of the community, and people that came out, you know, felt like, that's my son, that's my grandson, you know, because they're young kids. They're, you know, 20, 19 years old.
Yeah.
And so it really, with the championship and everything that went on this year, I really think that from what I have heard, you know, you're not going to win everybody over. And that's the way that everything goes in life. But our goal was to win the majority of the people over. And, you know, based on what I've heard, we really did that. You know, I had a couple of former season ticket holders who didn't renew because they were skeptical, say, you know, I'm definitely coming back as a season ticket holder next year. This is awesome. You know, the kids play with a lot of heart. So overall, it was honestly, I think for Greenville, it was the absolute best case scenario, because now that's something that we can use to, you know, to go out in the community and say, see, like, this is legit ball. This is what they're doing. And, you know, some things that didn't get to happen this year, like a draft on the MLB Network, you know, that's supposed to happen, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, in, you know, 2022. So it's only going to get better.
I was very impressed with the Appy League as an organization, particularly, like, we made it down to see you guys, and then we went to Johnson City immediately after the sort of Kingsport Axemen thing happened. And I thought, watching fans, because we ended up watching them play in Johnson City, watching the fans kind of understand what those kids were also going through, it just seems to me like exactly what we need in baseball right now is that kind of, yeah, you're competitive, yeah, you want to win, but there's a real community involved with this whole league.
Right. And that's, you know, when everything happened in Kingsport, you know, it was tough because we wanted to play for different reasons. And, you know, and unfortunately, I'll be totally honest, we did have some people that, you know, thought it was selfish that we wanted the kids to play that day, but it, or the next day, that day, obviously, absolutely not. you know, and we worked with MLB and got twice as many security detail and all this stuff, because the overall importance was the safety of the players and then the fans, of course. And so it became very important to us, not from a financial standpoint, which, like I said, a lot of people say, oh yeah, right, it had nothing to do with that. We're not heartless, you know, human beings. We, you know, we do have a business side, but we're people. But we also understand what it means to these communities, because you have so much going on in the world, and that it doesn't even, no elaboration needs to be on that anymore. But it, you know, we wanted to make sure that the fans knew that, it wasn't business as usual, but we were going to put their safety first and everything, you know, all of those steps taken. And that was one reason we really wanted to get back into Kingsport, was because we felt like as a company, you know, as a sister team to Kingsport, it was really important for us to convey to the, you know, the community, hey, we have your back. We want to keep you safe as well as our players, but we also want to help you feel like you can get back to normal, and that, you know, this isn't an everyday thing. And we've taken, you know, MLB had this level of what was needed and we were here. And so, you know, that was, and to see a lot of the, you know, the players, you know, that we found to fill in the holes and stuff after, you know, unfortunately the other players were dismissed, you know, they really wanted to get out there and show the community, hey, like, you know, we both have each other's back, and this was crappy. And what this, you know, the kid did was words you can't even really say. But that was what's really important. And that's what's been driving us, you know, from the get go, is just having a sense of community with all of these teams.
And then obviously you finished strong. How did you celebrate the championship? What were some of the first things that you sort of thought kind of going through your head?
The first thing I asked my boss was, do you really have to have these reports today? And unfortunately he did. But we, it was, you know, it was awesome. The players, you know, we hung out on the field for a while, and, you know, me and my assistant GM, Brandon, there's like the trophies in the middle of us, and we're just sitting on the pitcher's mound, and we're like, it happened again. It was back to back. Like, it was just, you know, it was very, and I mean, the players hung out, and, you know, they did silly things. Like, I walked by the, you know, the Dippin' Dot cart, and they're like in the Dippin' Dots, and I'm like, they're like, and I was like, you just won a championship. Eat Dippin' Dots. Like, I don't care.
Some free Dippin' Dots. You know? You're fine. Yeah.
Have some Dippin'. You want ice cream? Have Dippin' Dots. You know, it's totally fine. And so they just, you know, they hung out for a while and just talked to each other. And because a lot of them flew out the next day.
When they had to get back to campus, right.
Right. And some of them, it was like, you know, don't even go to bed. Why bother? You got to be up. And, you know, so it was good. It was just a lot of hanging out, reminiscing, you know, you're looking back on the season and everything that was out of your control, you know, COVID flare ups and all this other stuff. So it was, you know, the next day we had to immediately come in and start doing stadium takedown so we could turn the stadium back over to Tusculum University for their season. And it definitely made turning the stadium back over so much more tolerable, because you're walking around like, yeah, I have to do this, but we won. So it was great. And the guys did so, you know, they played so well, and they're just, it was, still think about it to this, you know, to this day, it's great.
Well, leadership, it starts from the top, and you were named the 2021 Appy League Executive of the Year. What does that mean to you?
You know, I don't know. I know that that probably sounds bad, but it was, it's a huge honor, because I look around at, you know, the other GMs in this league, and it's to just think that, you know, technically I came in as second year GM. First year, I'll be honest, I don't really think it counts. It was 2020. I didn't do anything. I, you know, maybe sent a few emails here and there, but just as we got started, you know, so it was very nice to come in and start with the team from the rebrand. And then when the Appy League president called me a week after we won the championship to the day, so I had two really great Mondays in a row, he was like, you know, I want to be the first to congratulate you on being executive of the year. And I keep having flashbacks of, I just said, you know, are you serious? Like, me? And I didn't, and I told him, I was like, I don't know what to say. I'm not trying to sound like I just won an Emmy or something and just be like, oh my. But I didn't know what to say, because the names that were on the ballot with me, it's a huge honor. And it's, you know, in 2019, it was, you know, not to blow smoke, but I won, you know, the Appy League Woman of the Year that year. And then I saw the executive award and I thought, okay, next goal. And I thought, and it's kind of surreal, because I didn't think it was something that, being a quote unquote first year GM, that it would be that, because like I said, there's so many, all of the other general managers and executives in this league, everything that we all went through, you know, we all faced COVID at some point, we all had games canceled, just various things. And it was truly, and it still is, an honor. And I feel very blessed, and I don't really know what the word to think about the other GMs in the league. And it really does, you know, it makes me feel a great sense of pride and honor that they would, you know, select me to win that award this year. So it's still kind of hard to put into words. It was a career goal. And so now it's, you know, you look at 2022 and you're like, you better step up, because yeah, you know, one of exactly. It's like, so what do I do now? You know, but it's hopefully next year is just as good of a year. But it's certainly been, you know, not to beat a dead horse, it's just been, it's truly been an honor.
Well, Kat, we can't think of it happening to a better person. Congratulations to you from our staff. And thanks so much for continuing, like, let us sort of be, you know, riding shotgun on your journey. It's been so much fun.
Absolutely. And it's been great to have you all along. And, you know, it was great to have you guys come out to a game. And we really appreciate your support.
And now on to close it out, the right-hander from Houston, Texas, James Christopher.
And so that does wrap us up. I do want to do a quick shout out to who I'm wearing. I've got the Martha's Vineyard Sharks on. Great look. We're going to be out there next season. Like I said, we're already planning 2022, but there's still a little bit of time left in 2021. You've got a couple of weeks left if you're a AAA fan. You've got about another month left if you're into the Atlantic League, and another handful of games if you're AA or lower. So get out to a ball game, because after the season's over, and after the Baseball World Series and the Major League World Series is done, we roll into Halloween, and then it's Thanksgiving, and then it's Christmas, and then after that, we step off a cliff into the void. And that void of no baseball, it sucks every year. So make sure you take advantage when you can see baseball now. Get out, get you some peanuts, get you some Cracker Jacks, and most importantly, no matter what you do, let's get to it.